Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into the Lake Show here on this Thursday, News Talk 830 WCCO. Finally, we see the sun. We see the sun. I'm so happy to see the sun again. Because the weather this week, I don't want to say it's been brutal. It didn't snow. But it hasn't been a lot of fun. It has not been a lot of fun. Fun today, though. Fun show. We got plenty of people to talk to today here on the show. Derek Falvey, Twins, in 30 minutes, less than that, actually. But I wanted to start the show outside of the world of sports with the reality that I think that we all need to wrap our heads around. And it's the reality that I think many people are kind of pushing off, but it's staring us right in the face, and it's coming, and it's coming soon. And it's the fact that prices are about to go up even more than where they're at right now. I know that the talking points to start the year were about egg prices and all the other stuff and the tariffs. The reality for all of us is that the prices across the board for many of the things that we need on a day-to-day that we love are about to go up. And I know that it's hard to stomach, or even sometimes you're like, you don't really want to believe it. Because until you actually go into a store and shop and you see the price has changed, I don't think it really resonates with people. Right? Until you actually see it or you purchase something, you're like, hold on, price has gone up. It's about to happen. And so I start with that because I feel like there's something that we're being sold, and it's the big lie. The big lie is, in my opinion, the big lie is when people, specifically politicians, tell us that prices, yeah, they're about to go up. Over the long run, though, they'll come back down. Where do we see prices typically dramatically go up on things and they come back down? Outside of gas prices that fluctuate like that, when in society do we see prices go up and then over time they come back down? I need a new iPhone. I'd love to walk into the Apple store this weekend and get a drastically reduced price on an iPhone. I'd love that. But you know what? Smartphones, mobile phones, the prices for them aren't going down. The prices for new computers aren't going down. There's not. And so with a lot of things, that big lie is being told to us, it's being sold to us, and it's not real. So I don't want to be one of those individuals in society that gets hoodwinked into thinking, oh yeah, you're going to pay a little bit more here for the rest of 2025, but in 2026, we'll correct it. We'll get it figured out. 2027, it'll be cheaper. That's not a thing. So please don't be one of those individuals that dives into and trusts and believes. And I don't care who the politician is. I don't care what their affiliation is. I don't care how they identify themselves. That's not a real thing. It's just not. 651-461-9226. If you'd like to react on the talk and text line. Because I'm not buying it It's not real. Show me the evidence that things will go back to what they used to be in terms of price. I'd love penny candy. Any places out there sell penny candy? Heck, one of the places that was making a killing, and it's relative, okay? I'm just generalizing that they made a little bit more money during the pandemic was Dollar Tree.
Mm-hmm. Dollar.
Dollar Tree now is up to what? $1.25?
Yeah, it's a buck and a quarter store.
Buck and a quarter. Come on, people. Let's be smart. Let's utilize our brains. Representative Andy Barr of Kentucky, he was on CNN, and he is one of many that have tried to sell us this lie that I'm not buying.
I just get the news moments ago, and I'll just ask you, is this breaking news? Walmart just said that it is going to have to raise some prices because of the tariffs. What do you think about that? Because the Commerce Secretary was suggesting that wouldn't need to happen.
Well, look, the bottom line is this president has given himself leverage to create better, more reciprocal trade deals. Walmart will lower prices in the long run. Prices will come down lower in the long run because we're going to get better deals. And look, if India, the most populous country on planet Earth, the largest market, is going to go to zero on tariffs, one of the most protectionist trading partners that we have, you're talking about massive market access, historic market access for American exporters we've never seen before. We already have a new trade deal with the United Kingdom. This trade policy is creating massive opportunities, and we're back in a bull market because of the developments that are happening in the trade negotiations.
Walmart announced last Thursday it was going to hike up some prices due to tariffs. They knew at that time they were going to be criticized by the president, and they were. He did a Truth Social where he criticized Walmart, but that's the reality. They came out and they said, we're going to have to raise some of the prices because of some of the tariffs. Now, listen to me. I am not sitting here and saying that everything that goes up in price has to go up in price. I'm not saying that. I have been very adamant, and I've been consistent over the course of the last, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 years, saying that some of the prices that have risen, in my opinion, some of the stuff with different corporations, different products, it's been gouging. Okay? You look at certain things and you're like, this doesn't have to go up to this particular price point. It doesn't feel like. It didn't seem like. And so, yes, there is some of that. But Walmart, they came out, said price is going to go up. You know who came out? I think the announcement was either yesterday morning or the day before. Nike. They have acknowledged and said that their prices are about to go up on their products, and it could range anywhere between 2 to 10%. So the reality is that when people try to lie in your face and tell you that, yes, prices will go down in the long term as opposed to the short term, we're going to have to deal with some difficulty. Like, I just need the evidence and the track record of where that actually happens. Because it typically, Chris, that is not a thing. Typically in our society, we adjust, we accept the cost is going up. And then, because does anybody believe that a year from now, all of a sudden Walmart or Target or Nike is going to say, you know what, we're still making some money, we're just going to go ahead and adjust the price for you guys? No, you guys have accepted that the prices are going up, and you're going to eat the cost.
You know, different retailers are handling this differently. You know, Walmart has come out and said that, you know, we're going to have to pass along this cost to the consumer. And, you know, president didn't like it. I understand that. It's Walmart's prerogative to do that. And it's just the thing about Walmart is, you know, the president over the weekend is like, hey, why don't you just eat the tariff? That's not what capitalism is. Like, they are out there to make the
most
money.
And why would
money.
Any company want to do that?
Yeah, no company, you know, a Target may handle it differently, you know, other retailers. I will say, in terms of, you know, prices on things going down, there's a fluctuation where you know, prices will go down on items and it'll go up. There's an ebb and a flow. But I think when we're talking about the tariffs, we're talking about a more static price point. You know what I mean? Like, things are going to be raised and it's going to be... We do have the fluctuation, though. I mean, you know, you do see...
Typically in society, give me the examples of the fluctuations.
Well,
let's take gas out of it. What typically goes up and down?
Well, I think you can see, you know, I've seen groceries where I've seen, you know, produce has come and gone.
Sometimes,
yes. You know, clothing has gone up and down. I mean, there are a lot of items that have gone up and down, and it just depends on the retailer. But I think when we're talking about the tariffs, we're talking about things being more expensive, and that's going to be the baseline.
You think the price of clothing goes down?
The
price of clothing does not go down.
I think when you're talking about certain instances, and I'm not talking about the manufacturing or the cost of it. What I'm talking about is you know, the price that we pay at a particular retailer, like, let's just say Walmart, because we're using that. I mean, there are times where their prices, their clothing, their items will be cheaper than at other times.
I'm not talking about things going on sale. Sales are sales. Mm-hmm. Across the board, you feel that clothing has gone down in the last decade?
No, I'm not saying it's gone down, but I'm saying that we can't say that it's just been like this trajectory where everything's always going up. I mean, things are not, they typically go up, but there are times where there are dips where, the prices of items do come down.
I'm not debating whether prices will go down at times. Prices for clothing haven't gone down. That's just, I mean, you got to give me some instances of where prices in the United States of America have gone down. I could be wrong about this. 651-461-9226. I am not buying it that all of a sudden a year from now, once my favorite jean or Lululemon's aren't going to be cheaper 2 years from now than they are today. That's just not a real thing.
But what we haven't had to consider until now is the tariffs.
I get that.
Like the tariffs, everything is going to make things a little more expensive.
Yep.
And see, that's the new baseline. And that's what it is. The baseline that we have now, the floor, is going to be elevated. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying with that.
I think that what could happen is that the tariffs ultimately aren't effective, and then they go by the wayside.
I mean, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, they've fluctuated from 10% to 20% to 145% to 30% and that's one of the reasons why the market, everything is so unstable, because the markets don't know what to do, because everything changes on almost a moment's notice.
Your thoughts, your texts, your phone calls next on The Lake Show.
It does come down.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The mind trick that we can play is if an item is at $4, then it goes up to $5.25, and then a year later, we'll bring it down to $5 or $4.80. Did it actually come down?
Yeah, but then everything is always gonna. I mean, everything has always gone up at every point in time. I mean, we can, you know, that can apply to anything and everything. Everything has always gone up. Then
it's supposed to go up gradually over time, but we don't want things to unnecessarily go up at the jump like that. Like, People like the consistency. You just said yourself about the volatility, and we talk about Wall Street. That's part of the issue, is trying to figure this out. The goal, if you're talking about increments and stuff gradually increasing, that's not a shocker. Duh. Well, something should go from 3 to 310 to 3, whatever it is, based on supply and demand and all that. People don't like the volatility of something going from $3 to $5 and all of a sudden, okay, it's going to go down to $4.20. That's my point. That's what I'm trying to say.
And we're talking about something that's not even organic. Like the tariffs, this is not happening organically. And I think maybe that's just the crux of what we're talking about, is we're talking about the increase in the products, but it's not something that's happening organically. It's something that this is a man-made decision that is the cause and effect.
Yeah. Let's take a phone call here real quickly from Johnny in Chaska. What's up, Johnny?
Evening, Henri.
Hey,
a couple examples. I'm going to get through it. Thank you.
I hear you, man.
I'll give you a couple examples. In the last 10 years, a lot of people wear blue jeans. I wear Levi's, and I shop, for a good deal. Most of the time, the price 10 years ago was around $34 retail full price or tag on the clothing price for Levi's. In the last 10 years, that's gone up to now it's $59 to $64.99 for Levi's. Price has not fluctuated. If anything, it's steadily gone up. The other one that really gets me is Coke products.
Say that again. I didn't catch the other product.
Coca-Cola product.
Oh, got you. Okay.
So about 10 years ago, Coke and Pepsi were pretty much priced evenly in the stores, probably around $4.99 regular price for a 12-pack, and there'd be sales now and then. Now today, Coke products are consistently more expensive than Pepsi products, and when I went to the store today, a 12-pack was retail at $8.99. Part of this, Coca-Cola is blaming on aluminum for the cans. But I can't imagine that aluminum for cans has raised the price of that product by a dollar a 12-pack consistently for the last 4 years. Give me a break. That's a little gouging there.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And thanks to the phone call from Johnny and Chaska, look, I have been adamant about this. And you know this, Chris, over the course of I don't know how many years, a lot of what we see in society from a price perspective, let's take tariffs off the table. We're not even talking about Trump and tariffs.
Okay.
Is that we are getting gouged. As a country.
No question.
I've been adamant about that. With whoever being the president, Joe Biden being the president, I look at certain things and I'm like, this to me is just unacceptable.
Yeah.
This should be dialed back in. This is companies having a monopoly. They are in a position to basically force things upon us with regards to price, and it's unacceptable.
Yeah. When Johnny was talking about
Coke, Amazon's like one of the worst at it.
When Johnny was talking about Coca-Cola, it's interesting because when he was talking about the price of Coke, I drink Coke, and we usually, for the three of us, we buy them in cases because it's, the case of 24. It's like $13.98 for a case of pop. And to me, that is outrageous. Because I remember going to Rainbow and being able, and Rainbow.
To get, that was back in the day.
I know. It always smelled weird, but you could get really good deals.
Oh, don't hate on Rainbow.
No, I love Rainbow. That's where I'd go.
What do you mean it smelled weird?
It was awful.
Must have been the one you went to.
The one that we went to in Apple Valley, it was just, don't get me wrong.
Wow.
It was
taking shots at Apple Valley.
Well, I mean, you had to roll down your windows when you were taking your groceries home. By the way, groceries, great word, old-fashioned word. I don't know if you've ever heard about it. People are talking about groceries. But it used to be 13, It used to be, three for $12. And yeah, now it's, now it's a case for almost $15. It's insane. But price gouging has been a thing. Price gouging is always going to be a thing. Unfortunately, it's just something that we have to deal with. But now we're going to have to deal with whatever the baseline and the domino effect of the tariffs. That's going to raise the cost for the consumers unless you're going to be able to get some of these companies that are going to eat the tariffs. But as much as I'm not a fan of you know, Walmart as a corporation, they are under no obligation to sit there and say this is going to cut into our cost instead of passing it along to us. I don't want it to be passed along, but it's not their obligation to deal with something that's outside of their control.
I hear you. All right, 651-461-9226. We'll take a look at the local weather. Then coming up next, I will talk to the president of baseball operations for your red-hot Minnesota Twins, Derek Falvey. He joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now pushing into the seventh inning for the second consecutive start. As he gets a ground ball to the right side, France fields it, flips to Chris, stomps on the bag. It's a 1-2-3 seventh inning, and Chris Paddock, phenomenal.
Chris Atterbury on the call right here on the Good Neighbor News Talk 830 WCCO. That highlight, Chris Paddock has been off the charts here lately. He has been awesome. The entire starting rotation has been awesome. The team overall has been awesome. And joining us now to talk Twins baseball is the Twins president of baseball operations, Derek Falvey. He joins us courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Derek, I appreciate your time this evening.
Thanks for having me on, Henry.
Yeah, I want to start with the individual that we just heard the highlight, Chris Paddock. He is somebody that specifically when me and you sat there with Dave St. Peter and we did the round table at Twins Fest, I kind of questioned him because, number one, he's been, you know, he's had to deal with the injuries. It's very unfortunate the last couple of years with the Minnesota Twins. And anybody that watches Twins baseball would say that that has negatively impacted the rotation. But this season, he's heard the bell and he has stepped up and he has gotten better in the season. Why do you think what do you think is the number one reason why maybe the light bulb has kind of come on for Chris Paddock here as of late? Because he has looked absolutely outstanding.
Well, you're right, Henry. He's been great for us and something that we were hoping for and certainly expecting if he would get back to full health and full form, because when he's been at his best, he's been a really good pitcher in the big leagues. And, you know, the reality is he went through his second Tommy John procedure a couple years back now. And, you know, it's not as common for guys to go through two Tommy Johns during their professional career. We are seeing it more of late now, certainly. But the fact that it took him a little get it going, to get his stuff a little more crisp. I mean, you're seeing him get deeper into games. He's always had good command. You know, he's got the ability to put the ball where he wants, his fastball where he wants. His changeup's really come along this year in the way that it used to. And then he's throwing his breaking ball for strikes. So that allows him to get much deeper into games, as the highlight just showed. And you know, he's pitched into the sixth, seventh inning for us a couple times now, which has been huge if you have that from a guy that's kind of fitting toward your fourth, fifth starter in your rotation.
So would you say that unequivocally this is the healthiest that he has been since he's been in a Twins uniform?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, this is for sure the healthiest he's been. When we first got him early on, he's probably dealing with a little bit of soreness there. Pitched pretty well for us at the outset, but then once the elbow started barking again and we learned that his UCL did have more of a tear there, he had to go back under the knife and get that Tommy John procedure for a second time. That was unfortunate, but as he was building back last year, you could tell there were really good signs, but the further you get away from that surgery, the more in routine you are, I think the better he's gotten. And now that he's got some starts under his belt this year, had a great offseason, came into spring training really prepared for it, you know, he's on a mission here to have a really good season for us.
You know, the Twins clearly here in Twins territory, they got off to a sluggish and slow start, are red hot right now, one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball. When you start off slow, kind of what is the message to all of the guys there in the clubhouse, whether it's you or Rocco, kind of what is it early on? Because I know that from a fan perspective, it's always, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But with you guys collectively there in the organization, kind of what is the message?
You know, it's really two-pronged, right? The first part is you want to try and assess what are you doing well? What aren't you doing well? And are there things you need to change and to fix? And, you know, we kept an eye on what we were doing inside the clubhouse, what guys were doing from a routine standpoint, all their hitting plans and approach. And we weren't executing. You know, there's a difference between having a poor plan and then not executing. And I think our guys had good plans. They knew what they were trying to do at the plate. We just weren't getting those hits to fall. We had a lot of really tight games, put a lot of pressure on the bullpen when you have one run games every night. And we found ourselves in a hole. But then as you're watching guys internally continue to battle and fight and show up every day, that's all you can ask for, as long as they have a good plan and they're never quitting. And that's the clear part that Rocco, the staff, and a number of the veteran players did. They just kept pushing, and they made sure that there was no quit in the room. And, you know, we've seen the results of that over the last few weeks for sure.
We're talking to Twins baseball, President of Baseball Operations, Derek Falvey, here on The Lake Show on the Good Neighbor News Talk, 830-WCCO. And you guys have just been spectacular at home with a record of 16-7. But when you look at the division, and this is a very competitive division in the Central, everybody in the division has a winning record other than the Chicago White Sox. They are the outlier. How important is it to make sure that you take care of that home field advantage?
Yeah, it's critical. Every team plays a little bit better at home typically than they do on the road over the course of a season. But, you know, for us, we know that Target Field, you know, our home, we know we play well there and have for a while now. And, you know, feel like as long as we keep putting up when we're home, you just mentioned that the division's really good. We're going to have really good games in and out. The White Sox get better. You know, they've certainly gotten better year over year. They've got some good young pitching that's starting to come. But then when you add in those other three teams that, you know, made the playoffs last year in Kansas City, Detroit, and Cleveland, with us right there along the way, we're going to be battling this out through the end. So I think the AL Central is definitely getting some recognition now as one of the more competitive divisions in baseball, and we feel we're right in the middle of that. We're going to have to fight all the way through the fall.
You know, one of the things that we have to deal with in sports nowadays, and it's a good thing because we learn and we grow and we get more information and we get more knowledge, is about concussions. And clearly, you know, the way that we evaluate and look at concussions and what we've learned about head trauma and stuff like that in 2025 is very much different than what it was in maybe 1985 or 1975. With all that being said, how is Byron Buxton feeling, and how is Carlos Correa feeling?
Yeah, you're right, Henry. I mean, we know so much. And quite frankly, as soon as a guy enters the concussion protocol at the league level, it's really out of the team's hands. It's out of the individuals, you know, certainly the players' hands. And that's a good thing because it really just focuses on making sure that guys get healthy first before they get on the field, that no one's rushing anything. And that's important. So as it stands right now, and each concussion's different, each guy responds differently. So in Carlos's case, he's progressed all the way through, cleared a lot of the protocols here, and is in really short order here ready to join us back. And then in Byron's case, progressing well as well, but maybe taking a little bit longer in terms of the process and the next steps. That's to be expected. The good news is that both guys continue to get better every day, and we're going to get both of them here back in short order. I'm confident in that.
One of the things I'm going to need you to do for me, Derek, and I think I speak for all Minnesota Twins fans, is whenever we play the Guardians, just try to help us with some better weather. I don't know what it is about whether it's going to Cleveland and facing them there and them kind of trying to wait out and see if the rain's going to surpass or whatever. Or I think that earlier in the year, they were waiting for rain, and the rain never really kind of came and ended up, it was like a 3-hour delay. But unfortunately, this week, it was just rather crappy. And now today, we've got beautiful weather. But, you know, it's always kind of a weird situation when you have weather and we have to wait it out. That's just the dynamic of being a baseball fan.
Yeah, you're right, Henry. I will tell you, we went down there to Cleveland. I remember that a few weeks back, and I think we waited through a 2.5-hour rain delay where it didn't rain, you know, and that's not their fault. That's just the reality of a forecast that you're not sure what's going to happen. And for us the other night, we were hopeful that we were going to be on the edge of the storm in game one, and ultimately it started to fill in and we got some lightning and had to stop and start a couple of times. So it is not the easiest part of the job. I will tell you that, trying to navigate when do you start, when do you not. The league's involved. Both teams are involved. You try and do best because, you know, you want everyone to have a good experience out there. The fans, certainly everyone that's in the ballpark, the players, and when you're watching at home and listening on the radio, you want to make sure you can get those games in. So we need some better weather when we play Cleveland, that's for sure. I'm sure we'll get it later in the year.
You know, we know who the name players are on this team and on this roster. You know, whether it's Carlos Correa, fans having the Byron Buxton jerseys, the Royce Lewis jerseys, the Pablo Lopez jerseys. But one of my favorite guys on this team and in this organization is Ryan Jeffers. He just he brings his hard hat, man, and he continues to improve. I think that he's having a really solid year. And I kind of wondered a few years ago when you guys got to make tough decisions about who you're going to keep and who you're going to part with. And Mitch Garver, I thought, was a good player for the Twins at the time. But Ryan Jeffers just seems to be a really, really solid guy in this organization. Just kind of talk about his productivity here this season.
Yeah, you're spot on. Ryan's a guy that, you know, from a catching standpoint, it's really hard to get, you know, good overall defense and offense out of the catching position. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that maybe can just defend, or guys that can swing the bat a little more that don't play as good on the defensive side. It's a demanding position. You know, it's certainly physically demanding, it's mentally demanding, it's taxing. And so you see catching performance across the game, at least from an offensive standpoint, you know, relatively low. We've been blessed the last couple of years to have health behind the plate between both Ryan and Christian Vasquez, the way they team up back there and the ability to lead our pitching staff and work together on it. You're going to need two guys through the course of the season. Quite frankly, you're probably going to need more than two when you have some injuries. But Ryan shows up every day. He goes about his work every day the right way. He prepares for the pitchers. He knows that he can't carry an 0-for-3 out into the defensive side. It's a little different when you're playing the outfield or you're playing second base when you have a bat at bat. You know, you're focused defensively, but it's not – it can be on your mind that you had the bat at bat. Well, you don't get that luxury as a catcher, and you got to get out there, you got to shake it off, and you got to keep going and lead your pitcher through the game. And I think Ryan's done a great job with that for us this year.
You know, without Byron Buxton in the lineup and without Carlos Correa in the lineup, are you still ultimately super confident in this team's defensive ability?
It's definitely been a calling card of our last couple of weeks, certainly, is our defense. I mean, when we went on this run, obviously, if you win 13 in a row, a lot of things have to go right, right? You have to be swinging the bats well. You have to get timely hitting. Your bullpen has to be locked down. Your starters have to go deep in games and give you a chance to win every night. That has been happening throughout. But I think what you're pointing out is maybe the unsung hero of the streak that we had, which was really quality defense every night. I think Cody Clemens has been a nice fit for our roster, the way he's played defensively, big plays, night in, night out. Guys stepping up, right? Brooks Lee having to take over some of those at-bats from Carlos while he's down on the IL. And Harrison Bader, we know, is an excellent center fielder. So with Byron down, you know, you're not taking a massive step backward there because you have such elite defense on that side. You're going to need defensive quality throughout the course of the year. It typically doesn't slump, and hopefully we can keep it from slumping over the course of the season.
Couple of final questions for Twins. President of Baseball Operations, Derek Falvey, here on the Lake Show on The Good Neighbor. And you just mentioned one of the names that I wanted to bring to your attention and talk about is Harrison Bader. Me and my producer, Chris, we said this during spring training that when they added Ty France, he was absolutely a candidate to have a bounce-back type of season. And I love the Bader signing. And in my opinion, Bader's been better than what I expected. And the reason why, in my opinion, he's been better than what I thought is that when he is on first base or just on the bases, his speed and his ability to steal bases is much better than what I ever thought. Just your commentary on both of those guys.
Yeah, those guys have been huge for us. I mean, I would say both those two guys, along with Danny Coulomb, who came to us right around the same time, have been really unsung heroes for the group all year. Danny's been fantastic out of the bullpen. Harrison's brought a different edge. You know, he's got anyone who's come to the ballpark and watched him play, I mean, if you don't think he's having fun every time he steps on a baseball field, you know, I can tell you it's a special thing. And he brings a different edge to the clubhouse, too. He's been around. He's been in playoff games. He's been around the league a little bit. He knows what it looks like to win and to win in big markets. And so, you know, for him, he loves that role that he's playing. But you're right, his speed, his defense, he's played offensively as well as he's ever played in his career. It's been a real lift for us. And then in Ty, definitely a guy that we saw bounce back capability in, and a guy that could play a really good first base. And he's really stepped up for us, both playing the position defensively and his timely hitting and big hits that he's gotten in games to drive in runs when we've needed him.
You know, one of the guys that, or two of the guys that I mentioned kind of going into the season that I felt like needed to step up a level if this team was going to bounce back and take the division. One guy being Trevor Larnach. I like the way that he has played thus far. And the other guy being Matt Wallner. Unfortunately, Wallner's not been in the lineup. He's been out on the injured list the last, few weeks or whatever. Any update on Matt?
Yeah, so Trevor's been great. You know, certainly you pointed out, I mean, he's swinging the bat better of late, for sure. And, you know, maybe the best news for us on the injury front of late is Matty Wallner's out on a rehab assignment and starting to play in games. So that's good news. When he had his hamstring strain, it, you know, might not have seemed like much at the time, but when we got a chance to look at it under an MRI, it was a little more severe than we thought. So it took him longer, you know, ultimately to get back. But this kid, when he's in the middle of our lineup against right-handed pitching, he totally changes the game. And I think that we all know those other names you mentioned. I think Matt might be right up there with one of our best performers against right-handed pitching when it's all said and done at the end of the year.
Hey, Derek, always a pleasure, man, to have you on the show. I appreciate you giving me some time this evening, and let's go Twins.
Thanks, Henry. I always appreciate you.
All right, take care. That's Derek Falvey, Twins President of Baseball Operations, joining us here on the show. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up hour one, and we'll do that next. I'll be the first to say that Chris Paddock has stepped it up, man. I get props where props are due. I have to. Love the song. Oh, man. Chris Paddock, if he continues to pitch at this specific level, there's no question in my mind this team win this division. I really do feel that. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that overall, because, look, you know who's in Detroit. You know who they have on their roster. You know who their ace is. We get that. But their everyday starting lineup, though, isn't as good as ours. I don't believe. Detroit's a good team. They're not a good team. They're a great team. They got 33 wins already. They're trailing tonight against Cleveland at home, 3-0. But I know they got Schubel, but, man, with Paddock performing at this level here and that being your fourth guy, that's scary. That's scary.
It takes the pressure off of having to burn your bullpen for potentially your 4 and 5 starters, because you've got Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober. I think that you can, I think you can safely say that you have confidence in those three guys. Like you had mentioned, Chris Paddock was a wild card because he showed glimpses when he was in San Diego very, very early in his career. And then he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. But the outing against the Giants, and then you follow that up with Baltimore, and you're like, okay, you know, Cleveland, you're starting to string together. Was it a trend or a mirage? I think that's what we were wanting to find out. And if we're starting to see a trend, then that definitely takes the pressure off. And then you can focus more on just trying to get yourself through that fifth day, whether it's a Simeon Woods Richardson or it's a Zebby Matthews or it's a David Festa, whoever. Because, I mean, if you're talking about postseason, you got to have at least three good starters.
You do.
You got to have three guys that you can depend on.
Yeah, you can't. The days of having two guys at the top, and you just the only way the only this is the only way that you can get around that in 2025. There's only one way. Is if your bullpen is lights out. That's it. Your bullpen has to be flawless. You have to have some monsters in your bullpen to think that you have two top end starters and the rest of you guys are just guys. No, you got to have three really good starting pitchers.
And whenever we talk about it, you notice we're always talking about back to remember what the Royals did. Remember what the Royals
did.
Well, yeah, that's.
Yep.
But I mean, you talk to anybody.
Calvin Herrera, all those guys.
You talk, it's like, okay, your starters could be good, but when your bullpen, you get into the sixth inning and you're like, okay, we're SOL. Like, we're done. We might as well just pack it up. Like, this has got to be a slow pitch softball game. We've got to have the lead within an hour, otherwise this game is over. Like, those teams just don't exist in today's Major League Baseball. They just don't, because teams are built differently. The approaches are different. So many things, even in the last, 9 years, that 2014-2015 Kansas City run, that seems like eons ago. Because of the way that team was built, and you can't go back and you can't recreate that, but you can try and come up with something similar. That's a hard part to have all of those pieces mesh. I mean, think about how long it took for the Twins to have the combination that they've got now, and Danny Coulomb is on the IL. So now you got Cody Funderburk that's got to come in, and he's got to, you know, he's got to slide into that, and he's got to figure out, because now he's the only lefty in that bullpen. Like, things have changed. It is a hard line to balance.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I've said all along, and I call myself out, because when I criticize, I'm not criticizing for the sake of just criticizing. I want to see something. I'm seeing it now. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think that we at times will make things too complicated. That when a team is performing at a high level, like, my theory is you speak to that. You speak to why they're being successful. And when they're struggling, you talk about why they're struggling. You don't have to make it, like, super complex. Yes, you want to dive in and talk about, well, what are your thoughts and your theories about what's going wrong and what they need to change and all that stuff, whatever. But sometimes it's just, it's right in front of our faces. Let's just go ahead and just talk about it.
You don't want to overcomplicate it, because sometimes, as the kids say, it's not that deep. It's not that deep. Sometimes you're pitching like crap. You can't hit with runners in scoring position. Your defense sucks. Your bullpen is trash. Sometimes that happens. You know, but I mean, you're talking about one of the teams, especially in like Detroit, they don't have the cachet that the Byron Buxton, the Carlos Correa, even the Royce Lewis. But I mean, when you're talking about a Riley Green or Spencer Torkelson, or I mean, Javi Baez has been resurrected from the dead. Moving him to the outfield was maybe the best thing for him. But Detroit, they don't have the same name recognition.
No.
But they got guys that can go. Like, those guys are, as the kids say, those guys are wagons.
Coming up next, we turn our attention to the NBA. Because the Wolves have a game two that they need to win tonight. We talked to Trent Tucker. He previews Wolves Thunder next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.